Buenos días. Buenas tardes. Whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rafael Tamayo, manager of the Oak Cliff Cultural Center. We are a division of the City of Dallas Office of Arts and Culture. This is OC3 Frequencies, a podcast produced by us. And these are always really exciting because we bring in artists, community workers, individuals that we find very interesting, and we have really informal, organic conversations with them. And we get to know a little bit about them, what they do, and get some more information on this wonderful landscape that is the City of Dallas, arts and culture, and all the cool stuff happening here. So we will jump right in. I'm here with our staff.
Iris Bechtel.
Andrea Tostin, Coordinadora de Programas Cultural.
Yes, yes. So I'm going to share a really quick tidbit. Last night we had a screening of Espiral, and we had a conversation with the director and writer, Jorge Perez Solano. And Andrea gave an introduction, and it was really great. She's getting to earn her stripes in speaking Spanish. But it was a wonderful conversation that we had. The community came out and showed support. So that was really cool. So, yes. Now, let's get this show on the road. Iris, what you got?
Yes, we're so lucky to have the great honor of working with this artist that we have here with us today, Romulo Martinez. Thank you, Romulo, for coming. We've spent quite a bit of time with your solo exhibition here that just opened this month, you all, and the title of that is For Good or Bad. And we're really enjoying the show. I want to give y'all all a little bit of background on Romulo. He is a Venezuelan artist who is living here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He has a degree in fine arts from the University of Zulia and a master's in artistic production and artistic practice from the Polytechnic University of Valencia, Spain. He has a lot of awards and recognitions. And 12 solo exhibitions in museums, cultural institutions, and private galleries. He's represented by Dacia Bohr Gallery here in Dallas. And y'all, he sold 4 pieces from this current exhibition. Congratulations. His work has been exhibited in more than 70 collective exhibitions, festivals, and art salons nationally and internationally. Thank you again for being with us here today and sharing your work. I've had a lot of time to reflect on the paintings and the installation and the quotes that you have in the gallery. And you talk about in your statement the allegories, and you talk about this sort of conversation between emotion and thought. Can you tell us a little bit about those allegories in some of the paintings and how those come about when you're thinking about making the work?
Bueno, para empezar, hi guys, how are you? Gracias por invitarme. Es un placer estar aquí con ustedes en los espacios de Oak Cliff. De verdad que muchísimas gracias por la oportunidad de hacer mi exhibición en sus espacios, para bien o para mal, for good or bad. ¿Cuál es la pregunta, pero en resumen?
She had a lot of time to reflect.
En español.
Ha tenido mucho tiempo para reflexionar acerca de la obra y de las frases que colocaste, y sobre todo el uso de la alegoría. Entonces, ella quiere saber que le hables un poco acerca de lo emocional y lo mental y el uso de la alegoría dentro de los trabajos.
Ok. La exhibición en general es una exhibición con carga autobiográfica, terapéutica, therapy for me. Es un viaje personal que busco. I want to change, quiero compartir con las personas a través de lo que hago, pues a través de mis obras. Okay. Y la exhibición sí habla acerca de eso, ¿no? Ese conflicto que todos tenemos entre lo que es el pensamiento y el sentir. Personalmente, hay sí de pensamiento, como más una cuestión analítica de estrategia, más frío. En cambio, los sentimientos es como que es más pasión, es, digamos que más calidez, en contraposición de la frialdad de los pensamientos que pueden llegar a ser fríos, igualmente los sentimientos, pero no sé, entonces, teniendo esos dos mundos, bueno, llevarlo a una sala y bueno, utilizando elementos figurativos, digamos que cotidianos, dentro de diferentes ambientes, con un background un poco mimetizado, los elementos para narrar una historia y sí, la alegoría, la simbología está, yo solo doy más en el color. Por ejemplo, que sí, el magenta es carne, es carnal, es interno. En cambio, los colores azules son colores atmosféricos del aire, más en la parte espiritual, más fue más a lo metafísico, fuera de la carne.
El traductor
quiere... That is a lot.
Sorry.
So we need to make some pauses. Sorry, So, he was saying from the beginning, the whole exhibition is part of a journey, a personal journey, even biographical, autobiographical too, where he wanted to portray the, let's call it conflict between mind and heart and emotion. He sees the mind as being more analytical, let's say, and even cold sometimes in the things that you might have and the thoughts that you might have. Whether the heart and the emotions, obviously it's all about passion and feelings, right? So yes, there's a lot of allegory that even though he uses a lot of everyday objects, he expresses that more on the color than on the objects. For example, when he's reflecting on emotions and passion, you'll see a lot of magenta and reds and those type of palettes. But when he's talking about thoughts, then you'll see a lot of blues, cyan, and that's atmosphere, that's air. So that's what it's bringing all together on this exhibition.
You can continue.
Sí. No, I hope, I don't know is, si respondí.
Yeah. If that responds to your question.
Yes, right. It did. That was perfect. Thank you so much. And thank you, Carlos, for translating.
Yeah, who's our translator today? Yeah. Who's our translator?
This is Carlos.
Yeah. Welcome, Carlos.
Yes.
yes, I was trying to catch I was catching a few words here and there, but sorry, y'all. Not Spanish speaker over here. I will work on it, definitely. So let's talk about the language that you have, the words that you've used in your exhibition. There's one quote in the exhibition that I want to read actually to our listeners. And hopefully you'll come in, y'all all come in and see the exhibition. It's really beautiful. So this one really struck me a lot. The mind governs our thoughts, isolates us, focuses us, or loses us. We seek a reason to be right. And so this quote is between a painting that has a figure in a diving helmet and then another painting whose figure has a light bulb for a head. Is it just me or are these paintings having a conversation with each other?
Okay. Ella quisiera que comentaras acerca de una de las frases que tienes en la sala que le causó bastante impresión, y es la de la mente, que está entre el trabajo del pensador que está sumergido en el agua y el bombillo. Que si existe, ella acaba de leer la cita completa, que si existe alguna relación entre estos trabajos o bueno, la razón por la inclusión de esta frase también allí.
Sí, exacto, porque, bueno, perfecto, retomo un poco la idea. Para cuando estaba conceptualizando la exposición, yo busqué en internet, pues, o sea, me me puse al día un poco con ciertos conceptos, porque también son temas que pertenecen a la ciencia psíquicas y estas cosas, ¿no? Y entonces, por ejemplo, lo que dicen los teóricos es que primero, antes de sentir, se piensa. The first is the thought. Primero es el pensamiento uh-huh. y después el sentir. Entonces, claro, es por eso que hablo de la razón o sea, en la mente. O sea, si, o sea, buscamos, y lo que dije un principio en la pregunta anterior, es que nos justificamos mentalmente. O sea, buscamos justificarnos, no sé, empoderarnos con nuestros pensamientos. Y es eso, pues, lo analítico. La parte analítica, que es completamente distinto, que claro, el sentir también puede ser manipulado. Pero yo pienso, en mi forma personal, es el pensamiento, lo frío y no es lo malo, sino como que lo que puede ser calculador, pero versus lo que es el sentir, que más nos dejamos llevar por las pasiones, por el sentir y por lo que deseamos, y no es tan analítico.
This is getting harder.
No, it's wonderful.
So he's saying that when he was doing research around the concept and you know the what he wanted to portray, he was finding a lot of articles about psychic and you know. Mental health and how, you know, our psychic works too. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the research said that we start by thinking and then we go by the emotions. So the mind is the one that governs and starts our actions. So that was a huge part of what he wanted also, because personally for him, and it's not a bad thing sometimes where we calculate things mm-hmm. and that comes from the mind and thinking and what we want to do. And then, of course, the passion can come and wipe that up. But in this case, he wanted to start with that diving on the thoughts. That's why I think the presence of this character, that it's, you know, diving in thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's the one that started the whole journey of the exhibition. And the quote reflects on the power, let's say, that the mind has over us mm-hmm. on thinking and, you know, calculating. And even it could be, like you said, just analytic. And also we seek reason to be within reason, but it's because sometimes the mind makes us justify ourselves.
Yes, so I think you're right. Yes,
that's
yes.
kind of what.
Yes, that was really. It was the way you said it was. I received it, you know, audibly in one way, but there were so many things behind what you were saying, and the phrase you used, razón por razón, the reason for reasoning, mm-hmm. and how even within ourselves we can manipulate whatever emotion we might initially be confronted with, which it just makes me think, wow, how many times have I told myself something so that I don't feel what I'm trying to avoid? Or how many times have I just let myself loose? Mm-hmm. That's a lot to think about.
Yeah, I feel sometimes, and I'm so glad that we're talking about this, and so glad to hear you, Romulo, really give us some more insight into your work and the thought process behind the work and the research as well, because I do think, you know, there is, I don't think we think about it enough, like that relationship between the mind and the emotions and how one can, you know, throw the other one kind of off, you know, or cloud. You know, I think our emotions often cloud our thinking. And like you said, Raphael, you know, sometimes you like, you know, try to like justify
yeah.
something you're feeling with your mm-hmm. mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that line of thought and discussion is reminding me of another podcast. We can cut this out if we need to, a reference to another podcast. But
I'll bleep it out.
I listened to
Started now.
this podcast called Friends Like Us, and they had a guest on that was giving dating advice. And they had a guest on that had just recently broken up from a long-time relationship. And she was saying there's going to be confusion because I'm not saying names, but the person who was giving advice about dating was talking to this woman who had just recently gotten out of the relationship and was like, you know, humans really prefer to be right as opposed to happy. Oh. And so we have to really work on that. And so your exhibition is making me think about that constant work that has to be done to find that balance between the mind and the heart.
Yes, o sea, es una exhibición y es una obra que sigue en desarrollo. Sigo desarrollando la obra. Es que es terapéutica para mí. Dreno cuestiones personales. Por eso que para mí es muy importante la obra de los billetes venezolanos, porque es que para mí se reduce todo, o sea, mucho, o gran parte de la cosa, ¿no? Porque, bueno, la situación en Venezuela, toda mi familia está allá. A ver, yo estoy abierto y todos los días estudio inglés. Thank you, Duolingo. completamente sí. Free, completamente gratis. No, sí, yo estoy abierto, por supuesto, ¿no? Y muy agradecido con Estados Unidos. Pero es eso, o sea, tú sabes, ¿no? Son cosas que también... Hay personas que somos más pasionales que otras. Eso también es una verdad. A ti te puede pasar una cosa y como que lo puedes desechar a la semana. Otras pueden enfrascarse en lo que pasó, ¿no? Entonces, bueno, yo soy una persona apasionada, lo reflejo en mi obra, entonces, y esta exposición y obras anteriores y las que voy a seguir desarrollando, busco eso, drenar. Drenar mis propios pensamientos, mis propios sentires. Y bueno, llevarlo y también llevarlo a una cuestión humanista, ¿no? O sea, yo no soy un extraterrestre, o sea, todos pasamos por eso, por lo que representa cada obra. Entonces, también hacerlo desde lo individual, llevarlo a lo colectivo. A mi humilde parecer.
Yeah. So the work is still, you know, ongoing. It's a work in progress. It's a research that continues, but it's very therapeutic, and he drained a lot doing this work. For him, he expresses that there are people that are very passionate, very emotional, and you know, something happened to them and you can let it go at 2 days, maybe next day, maybe in an hour. But others just kept that feeling, right, for a while, even longer. So he's saying he's kind of one of those people that is very emotional and tend to keep everything. That's why he was referenced into the Venezuelan veils.
Yes.
Because for him, that encompasses, represented everything or a lot of what's going on his journey since he left Venezuela. There's people there in Venezuela, family Venezuela is still there. And of course, that expression of, you know, the inflation and everything that represents that work is kind of his journey towards today. So he's very grateful for, you know, being here in the States. And even though he's like working on his English every time, he's very grateful for everybody, has been very welcoming of that. So, but that's why for him, focusing on this topic is very important because it also helps him, you know, personally.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. You're bringing up Thinkers is the title of that piece with the Venezuelan money. I brought your card, tengo tu tarjeta en mi estante.
Okay.
Es arte por mí.
Okay. Okay.
Sí, and
son las caídas serigráficas, sí. Yeah. Técnicamente, mi obra, trabajo con la serigrafía y sí, mi tarjeta de presentación es una fotografía real de una serigrafía que hice específicamente para la tarjeta.
Ah.
So that was done for the card. Solely. So those are, and we're talking about the business card. So the back of it, it's serigraphy. And it's the shape that he uses for the thinkers. It was done mainly for it, for the card. So and it's a photo of it.
So if you have one of Romulo's business cards, you have a print of his. Yes. So
frame it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, first have him sign the back of the business card and then frame it.
Oh, and that's what, thank you so much for confirming that connection. Mm-hmm. As and Iris and I were talking about how that piece is different as far as kind of the context you think of it in from the other pieces that are in the exhibition. And you, Carlos, and I talked a little bit too about that it's the national heroes that are pictured on the money. And I looked up Pedro Comejo, Negro Primero.
Negro Primero.
And then I don't know if on this money, if the giant armadillo or armadillo is on the back. The giant armadillo, is that the bill that has the giant armadillo on the back?
El armadillo, ¿qué pasa? Ah, okay, el armadillo.
Es uno de los billetes.
Yeah, yeah.
Have y'all seen a giant armadillo when visiting home?
Que si tú has visto un armadillo gigante.
Vi uno en Austin.
Austin.
En Austin. Y estaba libre, estaba libre. Yo no recuerdo el espacio, que es un espacio cultural que tiene esculturas afuera. Muchas esculturas en Austin. Y tiene una laguna. I don't remember the place.
¿El Mexican American Cultural Center? No.
I don't know.
No, es una casa pequeña. Yo creo que tiene dos plantas, pero tiene mucha escultura. Mm-hmm. Allí vi un armadillo. Yeah. My first time. Yeah.
So it was here. Not in Venezuela. It was in Austin. We were looking at, it was a sculpture kind of museum gallery. And we were just walking through the, they have a lot of field.
Beautiful.
And he saw one.
Running through.
So,
yeah.
Trying to hide. Oh, thank goodness it was alive. A lot of times the armadillos we see in Texas have...
They're roadkill.
Yeah.
Poor things. Yeah,
so,
they're so cute.
And so, I've seen on a family trip camping, we saw a lot of armadillos out in Meridian, Texas. And they like to dig a lot.
Super cute.
Yeah. They are super cute. Yeah. So, maybe next time you'll spot when you're out in nature in Venezuela, maybe you'll see. Are there any plans to visit soon?
Maybe. Sí, I need to close chapters. No, a ver, o sea, yo no me siento triste, no me siento, o sea, no para nada. Es una vida, la vida se lucha, la vida se siente, en la vida se crece. Y sí, pueden haber cuestionamientos en las obras que están exhibidas, pero todo para positivo, nunca para negativo. Uh-huh. O sea, es por ejemplo el corazón con las palomas en vuelo. Y en la parte baja con el grillete. O sea, es un cuestionamiento para todas las personas. Nos quedamos encerrados con un solo sentir. O no liberamos. O sea, lo ideal que lo... O sea, si es nocivo, si es tóxico, liberarse. Pues. Entonces, si todo el... Y espero pues, que los espectadores puedan ver en las obras eso. Un cuestionamiento, pero que sea para ver las cosas positivamente.
Creo que eso fue lo que me fascinaba, porque en ver cosas, sí, sí hay el detalle que, bueno, volar o abierto, pero al mismo tiempo la consideración que no va a ser fácil o necesariamente
claro,
hay,
claro.
Hay tiempos difíciles.
Sí, yo pienso que la vida es de valientes, uh-huh. La vida es de valiente y sí, o sea, y que se lucha, puede haber contratiempo, pero la vida sigue, uh-huh. La vida sigue.
Sorry,
I'm trying to organize everything.
That's okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no, he's saying that he's not sad at all. I mean, mm-hmm. The whole situation, and yes, he'll be back to close chapters in Venezuela mm-hmm. soon. But it's not a sad feeling. In his work, he looks for the positive. He says mm-hmm. Life or living is for the brave, mm-hmm. So you continue, you grow, you look for new things. That's why his work always has a positive connotation, mm-hmm. Always. It's never to let you down, it's to lift you up, mm-hmm. And like in the artwork, that's the heart with the birds and mm-hmm. The weight, I don't know how that called.
The ball and chain.
Okay.
The ball and chain, yes. So it's you know, it's a reminder that you can be free, mm-hmm. you can do all that, but there might things that, you know, it's not gonna be easy.
Yeah.
You might have things that you have to work on to get there, but it's always looking for the positive, and that's kind of the entire body of work always reflects on that.
Y espero que el espectador pueda
and he
ver
hopes
eso.
That the spectators can see that when they look at it. It's not, you know, the aim is not to make you feel like, oh, some trouble or some, no, mm-hmm. It's completely the opposite.
Yeah.
No, I feel that. I feel like there is the balance, and you feel the... you feel the effort to keep the balance between the heart and the mind, and just to take it back to the thinkers for a second again, are there any of the national heroes that was there a particular reason that you picked those bills, those national heroes? Did they have an influence on your work from an early age?
Que volviendo de nuevo al Thinkers, que si alguno de estos héroes nacionales que forman parte de los billetes tiene una influencia particular en tu obra o por qué los elegiste. O sea.
No, ninguno. O sea, no, de verdad que no me gusta parcializarme con contenido político, a lo mejor histórico, pero no, son héroes nacionales de la independencia y ok, ya para mí llegaron hasta ahí, no, ya. Pero no, tomo los billetes porque representa realmente a los venezolanos. Los venezolanos vivos, los venezolanos. O sea, yo soy venezolano. Yo pienso que yo estoy en esa obra. Tú, o sea, los venezolanos están dentro de esa obra. Y es eso, pues, o sea, todo lo que ha venido progresivamente pasando en Venezuela desde hace 22 años, nos hemos convertido en un pueblo migrante. Y migrar es caminar, o sea, lo podemos relacionar con eso, pues, ¿no? Entonces, por eso, y el hecho de pensar, o sea, porque es que imagínate salir de tu país, ¿qué voy a hacer? Es pensar. Entonces, por eso que los titulé este Tinker. Pero si no, no es una cuestión nada relacionado con los héroes de independentistas de Venezuela ni nada por el estilo. Sino que, por eso, bueno, y le quito el rostro, pero esa silueta, el billete. Los venezolanos estamos allí en esa obra,
so,
incluyendo.
In regards to thinkers, so I didn't want to be partial to any political statement, but the use of the bills, the Venezuelan bills in the artwork, it's because that's Venezuelan people, that's ourselves in there, and that's why there's cutouts of the faces. Mm-hmm. That's us walking, because, you know, after 22 years of people migrating, we're now migrants of the world, right? Mm-hmm. So in the representation, that's basically a story of, or a record of those 22 years, those bills have been superseded by
a new bill and then a new bill and then a new bill because of the hyperinflation. So that's a journey that a lot of us have been through. So the title Thinkers is also reflecting on our position and any Venezuelan that or any migrant that has to go out and then what am I going to do, right? So it's to think about reinventing yourself in some cases, yeah, starting from scratch, and yeah, coming up with a plan to move on and continue.
Mm-hmm. I like you had mentioned one. It's apparent that it's very much a sense of identity, like of you and of your Venezuelan family and friends. And you had also mentioned that you took the face off of the bills. So I kind of see it like, you know, it's a representation of Venezuela, its people and national heroes, but it could be anyone. There's no face, there's silhouette. So every Venezolano could be in that bill.
Sí. Por eso que también parte del texto que escribí acerca de esa obra. Y es que sí, cuando se reúnen los venezolanos, siempre queda un vacío. Siempre queda un vacío, porque es que no es el caso de otras naciones, nacionalidades que sueña con el sueño americano. Uh-huh. Bueno, Nicaragua lo metería, ¿no? Pero, por ejemplo, en el caso venezolano, un caso demasiado particular. Somos más de 7 millones de venezolanos fuera de Venezuela y es un país que no está en guerra. Uh-huh. Esas cifras solamente son equiparables con países en guerra, es decir, Siria, Libia. Uh-huh. En Venezuela no hay guerra, pero somos 7 millones, o sea, por todo lo que se está viviendo internamente, pues, ¿no? O por ejemplo, también el caso de Nicaragua, que no que quiero hablar de política, pero es un poco delicado y los nicaragüenses sabrán de lo que estoy hablando, pues, ¿no? Entonces eso, pues, o sea, es acerca de esa obra que se reúne un grupo de venezolanos y siempre hay un vacío. Siempre hay un vacío por lo que se dejó, por una preocupación. Bueno, tengo que, o sea, sí me entiende eso. Okay. El vacío.
It's really powerful.
Yeah. So, not to make it political, but it's like when Venezuelan people get together, there's always something that it's, you know, I don't know.
An empty part
of it on the whole conversation, because you know other countries and in history they, you know, there's the American dream and people want to come, but in some cases you were fine. So you kind of were forced to move, right? And Romulo was saying that there's 7 million Venezuelan that have left the country, and that's a number that it's equivalent to like Libya or countries that are in war. We don't have any war. It's just because of the internal situation that we're living with the regime, and people are just leaving, and they're forced to leave the country. So that's something that everybody, you know, start remembering things when you are with other Venezuelans. Oh yes, and we had that, and yes, I had a house, and all of that. Things are gone or are there, and then you are here with nothing, basically starting over, and it's a little hard to put that aside and continue because there's something there lingering, right? But that's one of the things that you have to continue and focus on. What's coming and what's new.
That makes me feel the thinker's peace more with my heart than with my mind.
And with all the colors too, you get into the gray areas of life, which is interesting.
Yes, and then you think you need to leave, but you don't want to leave. So that represents, like he said, a very complex piece of what he is, mind, heart, you know, going on. So. Mm-hmm.
Sí, cambiamos el tema de los venezolanos. Se puse sensible.
Heavy.
Yeah.
It's important to the work, though, too. And thank you for that. Let's talk about the installation and the exhibit. For those of you who haven't been to see the exhibit, first, shame on you. Second, Romulo is not just a painter. Romulo not only works in a lot of different media on these two-dimensional pieces, including silkscreen, painting, drawing with Prismacolor. He also creates installation artwork. And shared with me some really wonderful pieces when you were here for the opening on your phone. Would love to see those again. Probably not in person, but you know, some more photos of those. But you have a really wonderful installation here in your exhibition, For Good or Bad. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because for me, looking at it, it's almost like you're inviting the viewer into the space of your paintings, because there's a lot of relationships between what is in the installation, of course, and what is in some of your paintings. Of course, there's the heart, and you have this little 3D heart, and then the color. There's so much of that, like, represented in the installation that you have in your paintings with those brilliant colors. I mean, you've talked about, you know, color being a really important part of your work. So could you talk a little bit about the installation for us?
Okay. Sí, la instalación es como, a ver, sí, como digamos que el punto culminante de la exhibición, donde busco, espero lograrlo en cada espectador, en que cuestionar cómo es su corazón y el corazón de los demás. O sea, porque, a ver, siempre es más fácil criticar que criticarse. Entonces, siempre empezamos por fuera, pero nunca por dentro, ¿no? Entonces, esa instalación busca, ya que somos todos criticones, bueno, pero vamos a autocriticarnos. Entonces, ¿cómo tenemos nuestro corazón? Entonces, claro, hay una serie de simbología donde, por ejemplo, el azúcar representa el bien y todo lo opuesto al azúcar, los salados, representa el mal, ¿no? Entonces, ¿qué grados de ingredientes tienes en tu corazón? Si es dulce, tienes bondad. Si es salado, tienes maldad. Tono agridulce, pero bueno, todo ok, perfecto, todo. Podemos ser bondadosos y malvados al mismo tiempo, pero ¿cuál de los dos? O sea, todo, como lo dije anteriormente, verlo positivamente. O sea, bueno, si tienes más salado que azúcar, es como que deberías revisar de más eso, ¿no? Porque uh-huh. Es que la humanidad se construye con el bien. La humanidad no se construye con mal. O sea, eso está más que demostrado a través de la historia de nuestro género humano, pues. Oh, sorry.
So, yes, the installation, you know, invites people, of course, to, let's see, high level, look at their hearts and mm-hmm. look at the hearts of others okay. and how they perceive them. And it's easy, he was saying, it's easier, of course, to critique or to judge others. And then we judge ourselves if you do it, right? So in this case, he wanted to put in there the heart, and there's a lot of symbolic objects there, mm-hmm. Talking about how you perceive, like, you know, when you also judge or critique a plate of food or something. So that's why you have honey, you have sugar, you have salt, the pepper, mm-hmm. and all these ingredients. And just to kind of play on, do you consider, you know, he's saying that the humanity builds on the good, not the bad. Mm-hmm. So you kind of judge yourself, or, you know, your heart and emotions through those. So are you more salty? Are you more sweeter? So if you're more sweeter, are you more kind? Are you more, you know?
I think we're all a little bit of both.
Yes, he's saying, maybe you are, you know, sweet and sour. So, how is that? And maybe people that are more sour, and you can perceive that somebody is more sour, and or it could be that people are all just salty, or that's your perception of them.
Right.
So there's a different ways to really interpret a heart of mm-hmm. someone. And that's kind of how he wanted to finalize the whole journey of the exhibition
okay.
with that installation, for people just to think about that and leave with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gradations.
No, yeah.
Okay.
And so are the shoes sort of like, again, asking you to, the viewer, to look at others, like see others maybe like in their perspective?
Por ejemplo, los zapatos, o sea, busca, de nuevo, ver porque una de las cosas que decía al principio era que es como una invitación a uno de tus trabajos de pintura por el uso del color, cómo está todo puesto. Pero, por ejemplo, en este sentido, para verlo desde el exterior, por eso están los zapatos, por eso...
Sí, bueno, sí, para darle como un aura, o sea, como alguien está sentado allí.
Yeah, to give like a presence of that somebody is sitting there. Mm-hmm. That's why the shoes are there, you know.
Sí, como una bruma, un fantasma. Mm-hmm.
Like a ghost presence type of situation, right?
Well, and it makes sense because they're blue and, the way, and what you had mentioned earlier,
And there is a, hay un juego del color y por qué lo utilizaste de esa manera.
Este, sí, bueno, todo, el color en la instalación, todo se desprende a partir del corazón, que es rojo, sangre. Entonces, ¿qué? Todos los elementos para neutralizarlo lo pinté en blanco, todos los ingredientes. Neutralizarlos todos en blanco. Entonces, de rojo se va el magenta, que es la que es usualmente el color que yo uso. Entonces, uso el rojo, pero uso más el magenta. Ok, ya estoy en mi obra, en la paleta de mi obra. Esa mesa está posada sobre una alfombra violeta, porque el color que le sigue es el color cian. Pero entonces, bueno, del cian se desprende un poco el color azul oscuro, que son las medias y la silla. ¿Y por qué ese color oscuro? Por el hecho de pensar. O sea, la persona que está allí sentada, viendo el corazón, está pensando, no está sintiendo porque el corazón está afuera, si es su corazón o el corazón del otro. Es...
Te falta un poco.
Entonces, bueno, es por eso que es azul oscuro, porque es meditación, es pensar en torno a lo que tiene de frente. Pero entonces, volviendo otra vez al cian en el piso, se pasa al verde, por eso que el matero también es verde, son vinculantes, elementos vinculantes. Y del verde al amarillo, que es la pared. Y ya lo que está en la pared, hice lo mismo que el mimetismo de la, que hago en mis obras. Hay un fondo que narra una historia, pero está mimetizado. Sí, en algunos casos, o sea, tienes que acercarte, es una obra intimista para ver los elementos que hay detrás pintado de manera mimética.
Yeah, so yes, the installation is an invitation to the artwork that you see in 2D. Of course, it all starts with the heart. And the red on the heart, then he wanted to have all the elements white just to neutralize them. And then, of course, from the red goes to the magenta, which is the table. And the color that he uses a lot to express also passion and emotion. And then it sit on this violet carpet, because it's the next one that's going to follow to the cyan or the blue, which is represented by the shoes and the chair. And the use of those two, it's also because then the minds come to play. That character that is sitting there is thinking, is meditating, obviously, because the heart's not on him, as in the plate. So
it's separated.
It's separated. So he's thinking and analyzing what we were all discussing before. So, and then of course you have more links to it. So the blue goes to the planter and to the green, and then the green to the yellow on the wall, which finalizes with the use of those frames that are like mimetic there, such the works themselves. So.
You're a great translator.
You
really are.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about, every time I see you, you're wearing these really wonderful, and sometimes Carlos, you're wearing them, gifted, I'm sure.
Yes, borrowed.
Either like a pin, a brooch, or these beautiful pendants that you've been making. Can you talk a little bit about like your interest in making those and how they fit kind of within your studio practice?
Que siempre que te ve, estás llevando o un collar o los broches que tú haces, incluso los que me prestas. y que hables un poco acerca de eso, o sea, cómo se vinculan con la obra, pero también de, el hecho de que te guste hacerlo. O...
Sí, me gusta hacer cosas para mí. Yo soy el tipo de artista que piensa que las obras que yo hago no son para mí. No, yo no quiero tener en mi casa un museo mío. No lo necesito. Mis obras es para el público. O sea, que me la compren es mi trabajo. Son cosas muy puntuales. O sea, y esas cosas son, es lo que yo hago para mí. O sea, estos collares, el broche, un adorno. Eso es para mí. Y me cuesta. Hay personas que me preguntan, ¿las vende? Las puedo vender, no pasa nada. Pero eso lo hago para mí, para complacerme a mí. Con respecto a las obras, yo hago todas las obras son mías, sí, y en cada obra hay parte de mi alma allí. Pero las obras no es para estar conmigo, las obras tienen que tener otra persona. O sea, yo no quiero mi museo en mi casa. O sea,
so you're saying that, those
entonces,
pieces,
para mí, o sea, para complacerme, yes, y tener algo hecho por mí mismo.
Yes, so those pieces, the necklaces, the brooches are things that he makes for himself. That's things for him. Mm-hmm. And I suppose he says he's one of, you know, that type of artist that thinks that the artwork that he makes is not for him. He doesn't want to have a room full of his paintings or a museum of himself or something at home. Yeah, that's for, yeah, for sale or for somebody that wants and cherishes those. Mm-hmm. So in this case, that's for him. Okay. So he enjoys doing that and, mm-hmm, and keeping that for himself. People ask him, do you sell those? And it's like, yeah, well, you know, I can sell that to you, but this is, you know, me time and yes, me doing this for me and enjoying it. So
yes, you don't want to be like a production artist, yes, where you're like churning them out and making
you
jewelry.
Never know.
I mean, you know, if it helps you fund some other things that you want to do, like making more work or, you know, traveling. But yeah, I totally understand that. They're really beautiful and they're like these wonderful little sculptures. So I can understand why, yeah, when people see them, they say, oh, do you sell these? Because, you know, maybe they think, well, maybe if I can't get a painting, I can get a little sculpture that I can wear.
Yeah. Sí, eso también, por supuesto, también viene de yo de niño, de trabajar con la plastilina, con arcilla, el hecho de modelar. Entonces, claro, uno va creciendo en la vida y en la técnica. Yo estudié la licenciatura en artes plásticas, bellas artes. Entonces, bueno, eso, ¿no? O sea, esa manualidad que uno, que desde pequeño tengo, mm-hmm, bueno, lo expreso a través de estos pequeños objetos.
Yeah, it's that manual work again, like me time and saying that he's since he was kid, you know, working with clay and all, mm-hmm, of that. So for him, it's a good use of a time to do that for himself, of course, enjoying it and, of mm-hmm, course, wearing it, flashing it.
I'm going to say you have this demeanor, this kind of well-composed, you have it all together. That's just like an initial impression, but the way you kind of navigate the understanding between your personal emotions and how you view the world that you're living in, you're very grounded, and I'm very jealous, mm-hmm, of that. Mm-hmm. Because I think you have this understanding of, yes, things can come up. Yes, you know, the world is open and you know, you really need to live with the positive and really work through everything that holds you back. And so, yes, life is challenging, life is hard, there are sometimes an empty that you feel, but you still have to make sure you cherish the really beautiful and passionate and great moments. And it's easy for a lot of us to get lost in trying to reach that. Like, I know that there are sometimes when I'm really happy and I'm loving life, and you know, there can be a stretch of time where I'm just really bogged down with stress, thinking, oh man, I can't lose sight of all the beautiful stuff going on. And you do that, you articulate that with your work and with your words very well. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Es bastante.
No, entendí un poco.
I'm going to let you translate that.
Yes. Come on, Rafael.
I'm doing double duty here.
Tú puedes hacerlo. Tú puedes hacerlo.
And our listeners will thank you.
Awesome. No, sino más comentar en la manera, porque ver las obras es una cosa y entenderlas también en la manera de que uno tiene su propia opinión es una cosa, pero hablar contigo y escuchar en la manera de que hablas sobre el entendimiento entre la mente, el corazón, las obras, explicarlas. Tienes una... eres poeta, honestamente. Y tengo un agradecimiento porque no es fácil. Sí, sinceramente es fácil que de cualquier persona que se pierda uno en decir, bueno, hoy tuve un día bien bonito y pasé tiempo en la naturaleza o con mi familia y todo estuvo bien bonito, pero luego de repente nos caemos en el estrés de, oh, tercer día, cuarto día, quinto día, donde nomás tengo dolor de cabeza y ¿qué estoy haciendo? El trabajo es una pesadilla y es fácil perderse en decir qué, pues, a qué estoy caminando, qué es, dónde está lo bonito. Pero el entendimiento de saber que esos tiempos no son para siempre y el enfocar en lo positivo es importante, es algo que creo que podemos ver en tus obras, pero es más impactante cuando te escuchamos hablar sobre...
Gracias por esas palabras, de verdad. Espero, o sea, si ciertamente el arte es subjetivo, la experiencia que cada persona tiene en la vida, también eso condiciona el cómo ve una obra. Eso es así. Una persona de mundo que haya vivido, haya visto mucho, la crítica de una obra va a ser completamente distinta a una persona que haya tenido, no sé, una vida dificultosa, por decirte algo, laboriosa. Entonces, claro, y toda obra también está abierta a cualquier concepto que alguien le sume, independientemente de lo que el artista diga. Yo espero que con mi obra comunicar lo que yo aspiro. Igualmente, también, por supuesto, es libre de cualquier otra apreciación que pueda tener una persona, un espectador. Pues espero que mis mensajes lleguen y si todo positivamente, hay que mirar siempre adelante. Es así en la vida. Hay que mirar hacia adelante. O sea, para atrás, ok, ya, pero tiene que mirar hacia adelante. La vida continúa.
So I say, well, you know, yes, true. Art. Also, art is subjective, so people, depending on the experiences that you have had, you will look at the work differently than others. If you've gone through a lot, you will see it, or maybe you will focus on that, but he hopes and expects people to see the best. He wants the work to communicate that, and to communicate that even the challenges, I mean, life is all about moving forward and moving for the good. So that's the message that he wants everybody to take when they're looking at the work.
This is something that we have discussed whenever Carlos, you and I and Romulo have been chatting during the exhibit installation or kind of, you know, when you all have been here. But and I know this is something we talked about. I think when we were doing the installation or it was when... you came for the opening, but Romulo, do you work every day?
Que esto es algo que hemos conversado cuando estábamos acá. Romulo, ¿tú trabajas todos los días?
Sí, todos los días. Yes. No, yo siempre he tenido, un vacío de que yo necesito verme con, no sé, con alguien. Una cosa, un terapeuta, una cosa así, porque es que no me hallo sin hacer nada. De verdad, no me hallo. Me gusta, no me hallo.
So the answer is yes. He works every day. He sometimes feels like he needs to see a therapist or something because it's like he can't stop and he would like to like have a feeling of not doing, I mean, doing anything. But he always is working and have this need of, I mean, even sometimes like, let's watch a movie or, you know, and then, no, I have to finish this. Do you have time?
But you will. Y también porque la obra tiene muchos procesos, pues tiene diferentes procesos, un proceso de dibujo con lápices de color, un proceso de pintura, un proceso de aplicar pintura en aguada, que son varias capas, varios secados, un proceso serigráfico, un proceso de barniz, o sea, de verdad que son muchos procesos que, bueno, Entonces, me requiere que yo trabaje todos los días en ello.
So, because there's a lot of process involved in the artwork, so it's a lot of time drawing, of course.
Yes, and then, you can tell that from looking at the
and
work.
Then applying the paint and different coats and waiting for it to dry, then the silk screen and waiting for it to dry, and then, you know, coating and then the water and, you know, there's different waiting times and processes that goes along with the, you know, completion of the artwork. So there's a lot of different times and that's why he goes back and forth with, you know, in the studio trying to get those, and especially for this exhibition that was
a lot. There's a lot of work in the exhibition. Since you're working all of the time, have you ever thought of, or would you ever consider taking on, because I think about, you know, artists who work very prolifically and, you know, have a lot of output, but their processes are, you know, very technical, or they there's a lot of steps. Do you ever think about maybe having like an assistant or someone to come in and kind of, you know, take away some of that time that you have to spend on each piece?
Ya que trabajas mucho y hay muchos procesos envueltos en la producción de la obra que te quitan mucho tiempo, ¿has considerado en algún momento tener como un asistente que pueda ayudarte con procesos y tú liberar tu tiempo para
say no?
No, nadie va a hacer la cosa como yo la hago.
Say nobody's gonna do
what you can do, right?
So on the way he wants it to be done.
No, pero es que también es una cuestión también en lo profesional, también es terapéutico de mi obra con tantos procesos, porque también la sobreproducción de obras, yo pienso que un artista tiene que tener cuidado con eso, mi opinión. La sobreproducción de la obra. Un artista debe tener cuidado con eso. Entonces, yo pasé por eso en diferentes niveles, en mi ciudad natal, en Maracaibo, también cuando vivimos en Bogotá. Pero aquí he querido cambiar esa dinámica. Es una obra bastante laboriosa, pero también eso me hace pensar no tener sobreabundancia de producción, pensar más específicamente lo que realmente yo quiero ver.
So that's, the answer was no.
Yes, I got that.
He wants to do that himself, but he's also saying that it's part of the, you know, the therapeutic aspect of working and producing the work, because there's a lot of time to think and reflect and continue. He's saying that overproducing works is something that artists shouldn't do, just because you need time to reflect and see what you're doing and think about it and the results that you're getting. He went through that when, you know, in our hometown and when we were living in Colombia, overproducing, and that leads to a lot of different things. So he proposed, and he wanted now here to start working, you know, on those specific pieces, taking the time to give all the details that he wants, and also leading him to think about the particular work he's working on, and also what he wants to do next. So that gives him a space also to think about the work.
I like to know that about artists, because I think it says something about like how connected you are to your artwork. If you're saying, you know, no, I'm the only one that can really do this, or I really only want me to be doing this, because as you're making it, you're reflecting on it and you're learning from it through the whole process.
Es algo que le gusta saber de los artistas, porque eso habla mucho de él. Bueno, evidentemente, si tú lo haces, si tú eres el que te tomas el tiempo y funciona para ti desde un punto reflexivo, bueno, es un punto.
No, y a ver, y aquel artista que pueda tener asistente, por supuesto, no hay ningún problema. O sea, yo no lo tengo porque no lo puedo pagar. Porque no tengo más espacio en mi casa, porque si no, a lo mejor.
You say like, I mean, it's okay if you're an artist and you have an assistant, of course. Yes. He doesn't have one because he can afford it, but, but you know, it's a different type of artist and what they do, so.
Yes, yeah. Very good.
Space for everything.
Yeah.
Well, it shows going again back to balance. There's such a balance between a concept and technical skill and process too in your work.
Que también hay balance que se muestra dentro de tu trabajo entre la parte conceptual, pero también la parte técnica.
Sí. Sí, bueno, es que de verdad que en la parte técnica de verdad que he tenido, o sea, tengo más de 18 años de experiencia en esto. Entonces, claro, he pasado por muchos procesos distintos técnicos. Entonces, bueno, y sí, me exijo mucho. Yo me exijo mucho para hacer mi obra. Sí, me exijo muchísimo. O sea, soy muy perfeccionista.
Es un idioma. Es un idioma y no cualquiera... Pues no cualquiera lo puede hablar.
Sí.
Yeah, for the technical aspect, he challenged himself a lot. It's been over 18 years trying techniques and, you know, and working with it. So he demands of himself a lot. He's very perfectionist, if you can tell. Mm-hmm. And that's something that he really wants to be... to represents what he does.
Mm-hmm. I had mentioned to him that he created a language. It's a Romulo language. And so it takes me back to the first day I walked in and I was talking with Iris, and we, you know, the photos and things that you see online are one thing, but when you can get really close and you see the detail, it's like it changes your perception. And it's just like, you know, we have impressions of people before we meet them. And so I had my impression of Romulo, even though I had met him and I had seen his work. Mm-hmm. After that, it changes it to like, oh, he is very centralized and focused. And yes, it's obvious that it's been a long time kind of refining your artistry.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, I mean, we have a lot of Zodiac talk here in the office sometimes. Yes, so that's making me ask, when are your birthdays, Romulo and Carlos? What are your signs?
Romulo is December.
A Capricorn?
No, Sagittarius.
Sagittarius.
And I'm a Cancer. So hello, July.
I have two children that are Cancers. Yes.
Yay. I have a partner who's Cancer. It's complicated. Sorry, Romulo.
No, Sagittarius.
Cynthia.
Yeah, see?
Romulo? Sign?
Sagittarius.
Sagittarius.
14 de diciembre. Nacimiento de Nostradamus.
Oh, yeah.
December 14th. Nostradamus.
Yes.
Like,
actually, that makes perfect sense.
Right? Yes.
Y tú eres Carlos Santana.
He looked it up and like, oh, Carlos Santana is running. Okay, so that makes sense on the name. I don't know.
You're going to have a Carlos Santana meeting.
Yeah,
I'll
post that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, anything else?
I don't know. What's next?
Oh yeah.
I'm sure there's something next because you're always working.
Bueno, quiero descansar un poco. Quiero pensar los próximos pasos. Los próximos pasos que quiero dar, yo los quiero pensar. Quiero, por supuesto, quiero seguir desarrollando la obra. Quiero llevarla a unas escalas mayores, trabajar con unas dimensiones más grandes, pero sí. Quiero por ahora descansar para pensar cuáles serían los siguientes pasos a mayor escala.
Okay.
¿Por qué te ríes mío?
Are you embarrassed?
Estoy diciendo la verdad.
Okay, he's saying the truth. So for now, he wants to rest.
Rest, very good.
So that's why I'm laughing. I'm sorry. We'll give it a try. And he wants to rest to reflect on his next steps.
Yes.
He want to focus on taking the works to a bigger scale.
Yes.
And of course, that takes time. So he wants to think about that and reflect on, obviously, what happened here, this exhibition, and all the feedback that he has been getting. So,
Sí, porque también, o sea, también es bueno alejarse un poco de la obra.
Yeah.
Claro, se pueden hacer bocetos, pequeñas pruebas técnicas, Sí, me imagino hacer esto, una pequeña prueba técnica, no resultó, ok, eso sí se puede hacer todos los días. Pero es bueno alejarse y meditar la obra. Entonces, y claro, teniendo una individual, es como que, perfecto, ya mi obra, porque también la obra habla distinto, estando dentro de mi estudio, dentro de mi casa, que estando en un espacio expositivo, profesional. Entonces, bueno, es ver la obra, alejarse, y es eso, ver qué siguientes pasos.
Yeah, just taking the time, you know, to think and like I said, you can do some tests and try some things. But it's good for artists to step back, at least for him to step back away from the work, so you can reflect on it, meditate on it, and now having, of course, the exhibition here, because the artworks, you see it differently, of course, when you're in the studio, and then when it's all together as the project you wanted to communicate. So having that there has given him a lot to think about on what he wants to continue doing. So we'll see.
Well, we're very excited to see what you do next. We're glad you're taking a rest. We know that doesn't mean just sitting and watching movies with Carlos. Sorry, Carlos.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I know.
But we're glad you're taking a rest. And we do look forward again to seeing what you do next, whether it's, you know, big paintings or installations or making, you know, really cool wearable sculpture, whatever you decide to do. I think it'll be wonderful. And thank you so much.
No, gracias a ustedes. Gracias a ustedes, chicos, por la oportunidad, de verdad. Agradezco muchísimo, Aira, toda la comunicación que tuvimos desde el principio, tu visita para hablar del proyecto, de tu visita a mi estudio, allí en Frisco, para hablar del proyecto y bueno, ya verlo ya hecho realidad. Así que muchísimas gracias a todos, de verdad.
Thank you, everybody, and especially Iris, for all the communication that has been going on since the beginning and since even when you visited the studio to see the works in person. So it's been a great journey, and now seeing everything put together and in the room, it's just, amazing. So
y que ahora ya está hecha la exposición.
It's all here. You have to come.
Yes. So come see it. It's up through October 7th, so you've got plenty of time. We're open noon to 6, Tuesday through Saturday.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I almost said noon to 7, and I'm like, no, we need a little bit of a break, too. Yeah.
Well, sometimes we do have an event coming up on September 28th where we will be here late.
Oh, yes. So, September 28th. If you're listening and September 28th has not come by yet, I will be open late. Make sure you come check out. Yes. On behalf of the Oak Cliff Cultural Center, thank you, Romulo. Thank you, Carlos. Thank you. You know, we express our appreciation for you spending time with us, for you sharing your work with us. It always means a lot to us and to the community to be able to share these kinds of experiences with everyone. And so it's always great when that kind of positive energy is reciprocated from the artist that we're sharing that space with. So thank you. You have been listening to OC3 Frequencies, a podcast by the Oak Cliff Cultural Center. We are a division of the City of Dallas Office of Arts and Culture. Make sure you find and follow us at Oak Cliff Cultural Center. Make sure you find and follow Romulo on Instagram at @RomuloMartinez. That's RomuloMartinez. I think I got that right. I'm going to give myself a pat on the back.
Yes.
This podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spotify. If you listen to it on Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave us a five-star review because that helps us a lot, and we love hearing feedback. So if you have any questions, concerns, and any ideas, make sure you reach out to us. But on behalf of the OC3 staff, thank you for listening, and we will catch you on the next time. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thank you.